through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee? Well, this is not it. I just want you to know this is not it. This is through the Bible with the old web. Okay? Amen. So go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to preach to you, talk to you, teach to you, look at the Word of God, chew it up, look at it, turn it over, inspect it, love it, cleave to it, make it part of us. Amen. I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. Praise God. When you start driving in Virginia, I know you find it's hard to believe it, but they make you take a test. There's a book to study, and you got to know the laws and the rules of the road. Then you take a test. I barely passed it. You say, well, that's easy. That's a cinch. I've drove all my life, but you may not know as much about it as you thought you did. You've just been trying not to run over anybody and get nobody to run over you, and you just don't maybe remember. But I think if we're going to go to heaven, we ought to read the rules. You may think you're okay, but just you haven't got caught yet. Huh? I got pulled over one time. I hate to confess your sins right before you flock, but I got pulled over in Missouri one time, and this trooper was an ex-sergeant in the Marine Corps or something like that. Man, he talked to me rough. He said, you know you was doing 65 miles an hour through construction? I said, no. You were. Okay. Did you know you passed a car in the medium? Mm-mm. Come back to my car. You know what I did? Went back to his car. I said, would you tell me again what I did? Listen to me. That's what he said. He's mad. Him and his wife had been into it that morning. He went down the list again and told me all and added a few things to it, Brother Mark. And so, you know, me and my sense of humor don't work every time. I said, hey, that ain't the only thing I was doing. What do you mean? I said, I was asleep because I don't remember none of that. He didn't even crack a smile. He just kept writing. He gave me a big old ticket. He wrote on the front and the back of that thing, Brother Ed. I got home. I called over where his boss over. I called over at the prosecuting attorney's office. The ones who was going to prosecute me for all that stuff I'd done while I was asleep. So I talked to them. I said, man, I got a problem. I said, and I just told him the whole way it was. No construction, no passing in the median. And they just said, okay, forget it. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. He said, that works. I gave them the guy's name. They knew him. Yep. But you got to keep the rules or they'll pull you over. How many knows they will? When a man does that which is right in his own eyes, ooh, not good. You got to find out right here how to live. That's what we're taking this time on Sunday mornings to talk to you about the Word of God. Because in here, he meant search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. This book is meat for our soul. It's light to our path. It is the sustenance of our very life is the Word of God. Amen. Now, we're going to a new chapter today, chapter 10, talking about the disciples, amen, and the power that they were distributed. You know, how many knows what a disciple is? A disciple is a student, a learner. A disciple is a learner. How many disciples do we have here this morning? Okay. How many knows that we've got to... that it's not a crime to learn something. Now I'll tell you, when we get to the place where we think we know everything, oh boy, that's a good one. Does anybody here feel that way? You think you know everything? How many likes to be around somebody that knows everything? Huh? The Bible said a man who is wise in his own conceit, there's more hope for a fool than him. We've got to be students. We have got to go to school, class. Ain't that right? We've got to learn. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. You know, it might be sometimes we're having a hard time. Now, there's things I can't hardly figure out. I know that shocks you, but there's things I can't hardly figure out. It's technological age. I told you about my cell phone, Daryl, KJJK. You know, there's some things I can't figure. But I'll tell you, I don't want to miss it when it comes to my eternal soul. And you say, well, I've had people, I went to ask people, and I'm going to get to these disciples here in just a minute. Oh, boy, time flies when you're having fun. Is everybody having fun this morning? Huh? We got to learn. Listen, what is a disciple? You say, well, that's those 12 men that gave Jesus so much trouble. There are more than 12 disciples. How many knows that's right? I said there's more than 12 disciples. They were disciples in more than one place. They were disciples, and they were even disciples of John. A disciple is a learner, someone that is listening and following. They were following Jesus around. I'm about to feel like preaching a little bit. They were following Jesus around to learn about him. You remember when in the early part of the disciples, you remember when two of them were John's disciples and John pointed them out and said, "That there's the man you need to cut your eyes on." Huh? I tell you, every false doctrine belittles Jesus Christ. Every false doctrine will try to earthenize Jesus Christ. Take the deity away from Christ, the power and the glory and the honor that the Father has given him, and take it away from him and make salvation in some other. I'll tell you, that is false doctrine. Amen. John looked at Jesus and he says, hey, disciples, who was it? Andrew and I don't know if it tells the other one, probably who the other disciple was. But he looked at him and he said, look right there. You see that Jesus right there? That is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. So they quit following John here, and they had been learning a lot from John. John was a great man, a voice crying in the wilderness. He was not the light, but he come to testify and witness of that light. Huh? Am I talking too fast? And so he said, there he is. And you know what they did? Listen, what did you do when you finally realized who Jesus was? What did you do? I'll tell you what, if you really know who he is and you really accept that, you're going to follow him. And you're going to listen. And you're going to watch him. And you know, they come up to Jesus. I'm going to get to this power right here in a minute. They come up to Christ and they ask him, they said, he turned and asked them, he said, what do you want? What is it you're following me for? Why are you coming close to me? Why are you watching me? And they said, Lord, where do you dwell? And he said, what? Anybody remember what he said? Come and see. Now, you can learn a lot about somebody by going home with them. Can't you? Huh? You go in the house and step on the cat and kick the cat, come across the yard and say a little word that in a foreign language means cat. Huh? You know, you can tell somebody, hey, they went home. I'd love to know what it was like when they went home with Jesus. There was a place he had a dwelling. Now I know during the ministry, after he got his disciples, they went on the road and they just camped out the whole time. Stayed with folks and here and there. But he did have a dwelling at one place. I'd like to know what it looked like. You know, Bible doesn't tell. Bible don't even tell us what Jesus looked like. For a purpose. He didn't want us focusing in on his Jewish countenance and face and height and hair, and we don't have a clue what he looked like. No, we don't. So they went home with the Lord, and man, it changed their very life going home with the Lord all day long. Stayed with him all day. And they became disciples of the Lord. That's what you need to do. Amen. So many times we learn, you know, and we are people who learn. People that, you know, a little old kid, while you don't have to set them down and give them a blackboard and a chalk and draw stuff out. You just watch them. They observe and look, and they'll learn how to get up, and they'll learn how to button their shirt, and they'll learn how to put their shoes on. They'll learn how to say the slang words you do. Where'd you learn that? From you, Daddy. Oh, they learn. They learn by reaching, catching things that you drop off. And, amen. They learn. And we are God ordained us like that. You know, we're not like the beast of the field. But, you know, you might could train a dog to sit up and bark or beg. But I'm telling you, a human being is fearfully and wonderfully made. They're made in a way that they can learn and they can absorb teaching. And so Jesus, amen, came and he picked out 12. And we're not going to just dwell with these 12, but he did handpick 12 guys. And you know, and you heard me tell this before. I first started pastoring. And I won't tell you where it's at. But I've only had one church. I got to complain a little bit about couldn't get folks to do. I was just starting out, Brother Zane, trying to get folks. And I was just fretting over that. And I couldn't sleep at night, just tossing and turning, pulling the sheets off the bed, and I couldn't get no rest. And I wondered, what in the world? I had a dream one night. I tossed and turned. I had a dream one night. And I saw the Lord in the dream. I knew it was him. I couldn't describe him, but I knew it was him. And his 12 disciples were all gathered around him. And all of them disciples' faults stood out to me in that dream. And I thought, what in the world is this all about? There was Peter in his bold, old, forward way, his harsh way. There's Thomas and his doubting, Judas his betraying. And I mean, I looked at all that, and I, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He said, look what kind of church I had. I can tell you, I don't even believe this. Let's try it. I come the next Sunday, and I preached on Amazing Grace. Y'all don't know a thing about it, but I preached on Amazing Grace. The Lord was telling me, look, I took them from every nook and cranny of life, and I made something out of them. I made them by teaching them and showing them. Amen. I'll tell you what, when we get so hard-headed, you can't tell us nothing. Amen. And we're not graduated. We've been expelled. Notice how quiet it is in here, Brother Jeff. I don't know how that happens, but I'm way quiet. I wonder if we have any candidates to go back to school. No candidate? You say, Lord, no, I ate the cover off the books when I was there. I'm talking about the school of the Lord. I want you to notice what he said. Now listen to me, you need to. You know, because we come in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we talk, preach, even get anointed most of the time, I'm telling you. And the Lord, and God is trying to tell us, amen, and it's almost like we're not getting it. It's not going in. It's not changing us. It's not making us better, amen. I'm not being critical here because a lot of us have grown. Look back down the road. We've grown. How did you get here? You got here by being a disciple of the Lord. Now, notice what it said. When he called unto him his 12 disciples. And I'm going to give their names here in just a minute. We're almost done. I'm going to have a little disciple study here in the next few Sundays. He called his 12 disciples, and look, I want you to look what he did. What did the Bible say he did? He gave them power. He gave them power. Amen. Praise God. I know it's quiet in here, and I will not mention it because it gets quieter every time I mention it. Amen. But he gave these disciples power. He taught them. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? He had them over there on the hill. He taught them this great lessons of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed be, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. Amen. He was schooling them and getting them ready. But here's what he was doing. He was giving them something, amen, that they could take and give to somebody else. How many knows that that's the way it is? That's what God intended. He did not just save you, amen, to sit still and not be an influence. You can't help but be an influence when you're the light of the world. You've got, as long as you are the light of the world, you've got the light of God in you, the knowledge of God in you, the power of God on your life, you will help somebody else. It'll be in you to do it. Amen. So he says, I'll give you power. Now listen to this. Oh, my. I hope I can preach to you in a way, hey, that it'll translate into victory for somebody. He said, I am going to give you power over unclean spirits. Now, surely you're not one of those sitting here today that think, oh, that was just for the apostles. Oh, come on now. Amen. These are 12 men that he picked out. Amen. He had fishermen. He had tax collectors. He had just men of different veins of life. And he said, I'm going to call you out. Amen. How many feels called out this morning? Amen. I'm not talking about being a preacher. I'm talking about being a follower, a learner. Amen. A disciple. You're in school. Hallelujah. And the Lord is a teacher and he wants to teach you how to live. Hallelujah. I preached our children's chapel the other Wednesday. Amen. On it's not as important what you do in life, but what you be in life. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's not just what you're going to do in life, but what you're going to be in life. And that's why Christ was concerned. He wasn't concerned that they, some of them are of this employment and that employment. He didn't go and pick and say, well, I need me four fishermen. You need one tax collector. No, it didn't matter what they do. What matters is what they're going to be. Amen. He said, I'm going to teach you. And the word that's going to come into your life, amen, is going to give you power over unclean spirits. Amen. I want to know in this house this morning how many feels like we could use a little of that power this morning. Hallelujah. How many, now I don't know, I haven't really dwelt a whole lot on this unclean spirit here, but how many knows that our world is full of them? Now you say, I saw somebody the other day from another church, and I said, I guess y'all been having great services, haven't you? And they said, well, yeah. I said, I figured you had. Well, why? I said, because the devil's been down here for I don't know how long. I figure y'all having a great time with him being over here all the time. And they said, well, he has been over there some. And we've got to wonder, now how did that happen? One devil, and it messes every church up. Well, for one thing, we blame him for stuff that really was just your problem. He didn't have a lot to do with it, poor old thing. Well, he lies enough on everybody else, so we can tell a little lie on him once in a while, I guess. But there is spirits in this world that are under his authority. Amen. How many understands what an unclean spirit is? Hey, you may not. Now I want you to respond to me a little bit. I'm going to be done here in just a little bit. We want to get ahead of everybody at the restaurant, so you just be ready here. We're going to get done here in a minute. But I want to ask you something. Amen. How many knows that there are unclean spirits loose in our world? And you know what a spirit does? I'm getting ready to preach to you here now. Just buckle up. You know what a spirit does? Now, you may be in this house. I'm going to guarantee you something. Amen. If you're not praying, amen, if you're not praying through, if you don't love the Bible, amen, if you haven't received power from God through his son Jesus Christ, then the unclean spirits are playing havoc with your life this morning. You say, well, brother, what does a spirit do? What is a spirit, that word spirit? There, in the Bible, there's several words that will coincide with the word spirit. Breath is one of them. Wind is another. God breathed into man. That is spirit. That's the spirit came into man. Amen. God breathed into man and the spirit of man. He became a spiritual man. Not an animal, but a spiritual man. And now that spirit in him motivates him and inspires him to act like a man and not a monkey. How many understands what I'm saying? Y'all look like I'm that spirit inspired. You know what an unclean spirit does to people? How many knows what it does? It inspires them. Amen. How many's ever been inspired to do something good? Huh? There's a spirit. It's like the old Christmas spirit. When everybody, you know, ringing the bell and hollering, ho, ho, hallelujah and all that at Christmas. Amen. And you get in the mood, amen, to give. And then at the end of the year, you get your bill, credit card bill. Ah! Yeah. But that spirit, that atmosphere of Christmas gets in people's lives. You even see people that are miserable, maybe smile and sing a little, you know, and it's just God in the spirit. But hey, there is a real spirit of evil that lurks and moves. You can't see it. You can't see it. I mean, it can take a form. How many remembers the book of Revelation when it talked about those things crawling up like frogs, wasn't it? They were unclean spirits. I had a dream one time, and I never could understand. I went to a man of God. I said, I knew it was a spiritual dream. Amen. But I saw people standing on the shore and these frogs crawling up out of the water, and it was chasing these people. And when it got them, it was biting their faces off. And I mean, it wasn't gory and bloody. eyeballs everywhere. It wasn't that kind. But when these frogs would catch them, it would just bite them in the face, and their face would just become blank, and you couldn't identify them. You didn't know who they were. And so I began to seek to God about the interpretation of this dream. And the Lord, and I didn't realize that it talked about those frogs being unclean spirits. But the Lord spoke to my life, my heart, when I prayed about that. What does those frogs mean? He said, those are unclean spirits. And when those unclean spirits begin to get into men and women's lives, it takes their character. It takes their identity away. And they're not the person that, that you thought they were. Amen. You wonder sometimes, what made somebody do that? I'm going to tell you what made them do it. It was the inspiration of an unclean spirit, amen, that got control of their thinking and control of their life. Oh, help me preach a little bit here this morning. Amen. I'll tell you, the Bible said he took those disciples. That's why our world is so corrupt. Amen. That's why you read the news. Stay with me now. You read the news about that man that kidnapped that little girl when she was 11 years old at the bus stop, took her home, made her his wife. Amen. For what, 18 years or something, had children by that little girl. And you think, what can a man, what would get into a man? I'll tell you what get into a man like that. When he dwells on filth, amen, and he allows his emotions and his passions to run helter-skelter out of control. He sits at a movie screen and he watches filth and sex, amen, and evil things like that. And then the devil, that unclean spirit, gets in there and dwells and pounds and beats and turns and twists, and it makes somebody a pervert, amen. I would ask you if you like this kind of preaching, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. I ain't no need of getting in a controversy here. He said, I'm going to give you power. You say, well, that's just something modern. No, it was in Jesus' day too. That filthy, unclean spirit. Amen. And it's not just sexual thing. Amen. But other evil things. Amen. How many knows that even in the house of God, amen, in Ezekiel, amen, God showed Ezekiel, he saw that hole in the wall, and it went into the house of God, and it had all these unclean things hanging on the wall, right in the sanctuary. Oh, help me preach a little bit. I'll tell you what, that's why church work, listen to me, not only church work, amen, but I tell you, when it comes to a relationship between men and women in a church house, I've seen these charismatic churches where everybody just hugs on each other. This is not a charismatic church here. I want to tell you that right now. Huh? No, amen, when the men pray, I've been right here at this altar, and you may not like this preacher when I get done. We've had visitors come, and I was praying for the sick up here, and a lady moved in close to me and put her hands on me, and I just took her hands off of me. You say, preacher, you're nuts. I'm still saved, hallelujah. Huh? What do you mean? That's right. Amen. Come on now. Amen. God's got a way. Listen. Amen. God's got a sanctified way. Amen. That's why the men pray with the men and the ladies the ladies. I know if it's my mom or some old grandlady. Amen. I'm not that stupid. Amen. But I also know there's an unclean spirit that runs among churches that causes, amen, the pastor to run off. Amen. With some young girl or some woman in the church to get to lusting after some other guy. I tell you what, that is not to be, amen, ruling in the house of God. Amen. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you power over unclean spirits. Filthy. Filthy. I'll tell you, and I'm not just going to dwell on this, but this is one of the filthiest that there is in the Bible. Lasciviousness. That's why ladies ought to dress modestly. Now you say, what about the men? Well, right, but it's not actually the same thing. You may disagree with this, but men are attracted to a woman's looks a lot more than the other way around. That's why and pardon me, and y'all sitting here mighty quiet, so I ain't going to hurt nothing. That's why Playboy is such a big industry. And for many years, there was no alternative, no ladies' version, because it's just naturally not as big a draw. Amen. But I know men ought to keep their shirts on and buttoned up all the way. I know that. And they ought to not wear their Bermudas and look like two ropes with knots tied in them. I think that took care of that. But I tell you, that's why women ought to dress modestly. Hey, come on now. And let me just drop this in on you right here. Amen. When nowadays they make clothes that are in a material that is an odd deal. I mean, you can go buy extra large and it won't be that wide. So what happens when they put that on an extra large body? It doesn't leave much for the imagination. And I don't want to say too much and get in trouble here. Amen. But I'll tell you what. Amen. God wants his women to be modest, shamefaced. Amen. And that's what worries me about the internet. Amen. And young girls putting glamour shots of themselves on the Facebook and internet. Amen. Brother, that is against what the Bible said a young lady ought to be. She ought to not put her picture on there to draw attention. Amen. Oh, I could see. Amen. On your driver's license, if you got to have a shot, but to put something of a glamour on there with that pose on there to draw somebody's head. The Bible said that a young woman ought to be shamefaced with her face down. Amen. With soberness. Amen. If you're going to please anybody, it ought to be your husband. Amen. In the privacy of your home. Now, just because it said XL on there does not mean it fits. Are you taping this? Pastors, make sure everybody in this church gets one of these if they want one. Huh? That way I won't have to hit it again tonight. Praise God. Listen, what causes that? What causes that spirit? Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies. Now, I don't want to get too far out there because I believe the pulpit is a sacred place. And I know we have preachers. I'm not for that. I think especially the pulpit ought to be and the church house ought to be a clean place. You ought to not wear even the same thing at church that you'd wear out. You say, well, brother, you ought to be holy. Yes, you ought to be holy. But I believe the house of God is a notch above anywhere else you go. Now, what are you talking about? Listen, I'm talking about the things that promote this uncleanness and this undressing and this, ladies, you've got to know that the only recourse you have sometimes with the other opposite sex is your appeal to them and your looks and what you have, amen, to offer that they are naturally wanting. Are you listening to me? I know I'm a little plain. And if you're not careful, you allow that power you have over them to come to the forefront of your character. Amen. And you not only allure, your husband and those lawful, but you get the desire to lure any man that'll put his eyes on you. And the Bible said if a man looks at you to lust after you in his heart, he has committed adultery. And if you have promoted and provoked that, you are guilty of it too. You say, well, it's just adultery. Job said adultery was a heinous crime. Are you helping me preach? Amen. I'll tell you, adultery got the death penalty in the Old Testament. Did you hear what I said? That's right. Amen. And we are in a society that looks at adultery. Amen. When people get married, amen, they take those vows, and they say, till death do us part. Amen. They don't, in the back of their mind, it seems like in our society, they say, if this don't work out, I will get me somebody else. But Jesus said, that's adultery. Is that right, church? Read your Bible. Amen. You say, well, God wants all you know, God will save people. But I'm saying it is adultery. It is a wicked, low, down, dirty, lascivious, heathenistic, heinous crime. Adultery. That's why ladies ought to be modest. That's why men ought to stay away from porn. Amen. And watch, come on now, and watch when they go to the 7-Eleven and the lady in there is a little too friendly. Amen. You say, well, what can I do? Oh, come on now. What can I do? Come on, friend. You know how to look hateful. You did it with your wife last night. Just look normal, right? Bible says turn a talebearer away with an angry countenance. Oh, but we like it, don't we? You know why men get duped so many times by perfume? Because they like it. I tell you what you need to get in your heart. You need to get in your heart where you like serving God and having a happy home more than you like perfume. I'm trying to save you. You may not understand it. Amen. He said, I give you power over unclean spirits. Wow. How many thinks we could use some of that power right now? And you got to understand, it's not just you. It is you, but it's not just you. There's a spirit that's inspiring you, motivating you. You ever wonder why people that really surrender themselves to this unclean spirit never stop at one affair? Huh? Boy, it's quiet in here. How many believes what I'm preaching to you this morning? Let's just take, huh? How they never stop at one affair? You know why? And then a lot of times in our day and time, they don't stop with just men. They don't stop with just women. You say, what are you talking about? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you what, the Lord in the Old Testament under the law, amen, was turned over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were inconvenient. That's still in the Bible. We need power over these unclean spirits. Amen. And you say, well, brother, you know, when people just aren't compatible and, you know, and my wife nags me and the husband's got fat and, hey, that does not matter at all. Oh, I see what the problem is. It's the time. Oh, I feel better now. I thought it was the message for a minute. Huh? Oh, I feel better now, Brother Zane. It's just people's just hungry. I'm going to tell you something. This is right. This is right. It's an unclean spirit that gets folks, amen, wanting to commit unclean things. Now, I want to say, he said, I'm going to give you power over unclean spirits. And what did it say next? To cast them out. Stand with me. I hate to leave you on this note. To cast them out.